This day is December 8th, 2023, and the time is 13:07 Eastern Standard Time. Ward Green with you again today. We are studying the Crucible of Credible Creed, Chapter 1, Paragraph 8. We're also doing a chapter in each of the books of 2 Samuel, Jeremiah, and Matthew. Now, the modern viewpoint tends to be a scientific one. And many people put their faith in science, despite the better and more satisfying faith obtained by regular Bible study. Chronology is not the only test of the Bible, nor the best one either, judging by the fruitage produced by the creed. Jesus said we would know true disciples by their fruitage. The Bible may also be used as a test of science in faith, seeing as faith always wins out over knowledge, I believe. Inconsistencies in Bible versions may not undermine faith, but they certainly do recommend to us a flexible approach. Our approach has been to obtain from chronology a best fit for the multitude of indices of chronological information invented for the first time in history using the internet. The result is thus historic and is not dependent upon any one fact, source, or interest, for its multidisciplinary, innovative, comprehensive, detailed, and simple solutions. The internet is still growing every day, the number of its users having been increased, interworldstats.com, by 10.6% from September 2010 to September 2011, and 100.7% from September 2006 to September 2011. So, while we feel that our chronology is groundbreaking, it will be available for improvement if only in its details. Then again, the possibility exists that we are very wrong, and we would be happy to welcome a vast improvement to it. Either way, it seems that internet research has been born. We tend to know when we have something that's very close to the truth, so we don't expect a vast improvement at all. In fact, we only expect minor improvements, but we have to be open-minded. If there's some new thing that comes to light that completely revolutionizes everything in the chronology, then we would be open, but it doesn't appear at all close to being possible that that's going to happen. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the date when this article was written was, I think, we have to go to part two for that. Where is it? Part two. Written. Right here. Somewhere. Let's see. Right, recent article. There it is. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, there it is. It was 2012 that this article was written, or first published. It was begun to be written, obviously, in the year 2011 when I was writing about that, but it was published April 7th, 2012. So it probably took a good, 6 months or more, it looks like, based on this, to write this article from the September time period, 2011, to April of 2012. But that's all for today's study in the Crucible article. Our proverb for today, little children, is Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8, which reads, "He that is digging a pit will himself fall right into it, and he that is breaking through a stone wall, a serpent will bite him." Now from 2 Samuel, we're reading chapter, and I need to, um, Am I looking at the right one? No, I'm not looking at the right one. Okay, it's here. It's here. There we go. There we are. Need to look at the correct... Yeah, it is chapter 7 for today. 2 Samuel. And it came about that when the king dwelt in his own house, and Jehovah himself had given him rest from all his enemies round about. That's King David. And the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See, now I am dwelling in a house of cedars, while the ark of the true God is dwelling in the middle of tent cloths." Upon that, Nathan said to the king, he's the brother of the king, if I'm not mistaken, "Everything that is in your heart, go do, because Jehovah is with you." And it came about on that night that the word of Jehovah came to Nathan, saying, "Go, and you must say to my servant David, this is what Jehovah has said. Should you yourself build me a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house from the day of my bringing the sons of Israel up out of Egypt to this day." Let me just check here. He's a court prophet. Yeah. I don't know why I thought he was the brother of David. No, he's not the brother of David, is he? No, I don't think he's the brother of David. Not in the sense of in the same bloodline. And it came about on that night. Yeah, Nathan said to the king, "Everything that is in your heart, go do, because Jehovah is with you." And it came about on that night that the word of Jehovah came to Nathan, saying, "Go, and you must say to my servant David, this is what Jehovah has said. Should you yourself build me a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house from the day of my bringing the sons of Israel up out of Egypt to this day. But I was continually walking about in a tent and in a tabernacle. During all the time that I have walked about among all the sons of Israel, was there a word that I spoke with one of the tribes of Israel that I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why did you people not build me a house of cedars? And now this is what you will say to my servant David. This is what Jehovah of armies has said. I myself took you from the pasture ground, from following the flock, to become a leader over my people Israel. And I shall prove to be with you wherever you do go. And I will cut off all your enemies from before you. And I shall certainly make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones that are in the earth. And I shall certainly appoint a place for my people Israel and plant them. And they will indeed reside where they are, and no more will they be disturbed. And the sons of unrighteousness will not afflict them again as they did at the first, even from the day that I put judges in command over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. And Jehovah has told you that a house is what Jehovah will make for you. When your days come to the full and you must lie down with your forefathers, then I shall certainly raise up your seed after you, which will come out of your own inward parts, and I shall indeed firmly establish his kingdom. He is the one that will build a house for my name, and I shall certainly establish the throne of his kingdom firmly to time indefinite. I myself shall become his father, and he himself will become my son. When he does wrong, I will also reprove him with the rod of men and with the strokes of the sons of Adam. As for my loving kindness, it will not depart from him, the way I removed it from Saul, whom I removed on account of you. And your house and your kingdom will certainly be steadfast to time indefinite before you. Your very throne will become one firmly established to time indefinite. According to all these words and according to all this vision, was the way that Nathan spoke to David. At that, King David came in and sat down before Jehovah and said, "Who am I, O sovereign Lord Jehovah? Who am I, and what is my house that you brought me thus far? As though this should even be something little in your eyes, O sovereign Lord Jehovah, yet you also speak respecting the house of your servant down to a distant future time. And this is a law given for mankind, O Sovereign Lord Jehovah. And what more can David add and speak to you when you yourself know your servant well, O Sovereign Lord Jehovah? For the sake of your word and in agreement with your own heart, you have done all these great things to cause your servant to know them. That is why you are indeed great, O Sovereign Lord Jehovah, for there is no other like you, and there is no God except you, among all of whom we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like your people, Israel, whom God went to redeem to himself as a people and to assign himself a name, and to do for them great and fear-inspiring things, to drive out, because of your people, whom you have redeemed to yourself from Egypt, the nations and their gods. And you proceeded to establish your people Israel firmly for yourself as your people to time indefinite, and you yourself, O Jehovah, have become their God. And now, Jehovah God, the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, carry out to time indefinite, and do just as you have spoken, and let your own name become great to time indefinite, saying, Jehovah of armies is God over Israel. And let the very house of your servant David become firmly established before you. For you, Jehovah of armies, the God of Israel, have made a revelation to your servant's ear, saying, a house I shall build for you. That is why your servant has taken heart to pray to you with this prayer. And now, O Sovereign Lord Jehovah, you are the true God, and as for your words, let them prove to be truth, since you promised to your servant this goodness. And now take it upon yourself and bless the house of your servant for it to continue to time indefinite before you, for you yourself, O Sovereign Lord Jehovah, have promised, and due to your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed to time indefinite. And that is the end of 2 Samuel 7. Jeremiah 42. Another reading for today. Then all the chiefs of the military forces in Johanan, the son of Korea, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshea, and all the people from the smallest one even to the greatest one approached and said to Jeremiah the prophet, may our request for favor please fall before you, and do you pray in our behalf to Jehovah your God, in behalf of all this remnant, for we have been left remaining, a few out of many, just as your eyes are seeing us. And may Jehovah your God tell us the way in which we should walk and the thing that we should do. At that, Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard. Here I am praying to Jehovah your God according to your words, and it will certainly occur that every word that Jehovah gives in answer to you, I shall tell you. I shall not hold back from you a word. And they, for their part, said to Jeremiah, may Jehovah prove to be a true and faithful witness against us, if it is not according to every word with which Jehovah your God sends you to us, that we shall exactly do. Whether good or bad, it is the voice of Jehovah our God, to whom we are sending you, that we shall obey, to the intent that it may go well with us, because we obey the word, the voice of Jehovah our God. Now it came about at the end of 10 days that the word of Jehovah proceeded to occur to Jeremiah. So he called for Johanan, the son of Korea, and for all the chiefs of the military forces who were with him, and for all the people, from the smallest one even to the greatest one. And he went on to say to them, this is what Jehovah the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to cause your request for favor to fall before him, has said. If you will without fail keep dwelling in this land, I will also build you up, and I shall not tear you down. And I will plant you, and I shall not uproot you, for I shall certainly feel regret over the calamity that I have caused to you. Do not be afraid because of the king of Babylon, of whom you are in fear. Do not be afraid because of him, is the utterance of Jehovah. For I am with you in order to save you and to deliver you out of his hand. And I shall give to you mercies, and he will certainly have mercy upon you and return you to your own soil. But if you are saying, no, we are not going to dwell in this land, in order to disobey the voice of Jehovah your God, saying, no, but into the land of Egypt we shall enter, where we shall see no war, and the sound of the horn we shall not hear, and for bread we shall not go hungry, and there is where we shall dwell. Even now, therefore, hear the word of Jehovah, O remnant of Judah. This is what Jehovah of armies, the God of Israel, has said. If you yourselves positively set your faces to enter into Egypt, and you actually enter in to reside there as aliens, it must also occur that the very sword of which you are afraid will there catch up with you in the land of Egypt, and the very famine at which you are in fright will there closely follow after you to Egypt, and there is where you will die. And it will come about that all the men that have set their faces to enter into Egypt to reside there as aliens will be the ones to die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and they will not come to have a survivor or an escapee because of the calamity that I am bringing in upon them. For this is what the sovereign Lord Jehovah of armies, the God of Israel, has said. Just as my anger and my rage have been poured out upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so my rage will be poured out upon you because of your entering into Egypt, and you will certainly become a curse and an object of astonishment and a malediction and a reproach, and you will no more see this place. Jehovah has spoken against you, O remnant of Judah. Do not enter into Egypt. You should positively know that I have borne witness against you today that you have committed error against your souls. For you yourselves have sent me to Jehovah your God, saying, pray in our behalf to Jehovah our God, and according to everything that Jehovah our God says, tell us that way, and we shall certainly do. And I tell you today, but you will certainly not obey the voice of Jehovah your God or anything with which he has sent me to you. Anything with which he has sent me to you. And now you should positively know that by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, you will die in the place into which you do delight to enter to reside as aliens. That's the end of Jeremiah 42. Matthew 16. Here the Pharisees and Sadducees approached Jesus, and to tempt him, they asked him to display to them a sign from heaven. In reply, he said to them, when evening falls, you are accustomed to say it will be fair weather, for the sky is fire red. And at morning it will be wintry, rainy weather today, for the sky is fire red, but gloomy looking. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but the signs of the times you cannot interpret. A wicked and adulterous generation keeps on seeking for a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. With that he went away, leaving them behind. Now the disciples crossed to the other side and forgot to take loaves along. Jesus said to them, keep your eyes open and watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So they began to reason among themselves, saying, we did not take any loaves along. Knowing this, Jesus said, why are you doing this reasoning among yourselves? Because you have no loaves, you with little faith. Do you not yet see the point, or do you not remember the 5 loaves in the case of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Or the 7 loaves in the case of the 4,000 and how many provision baskets you took up? How is it you do not discern that I did not talk to you about loaves? But watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they grasped that he said to watch out not for the leaven of the loaves, but for the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now when he had come into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus went asking his disciples, who are men saying the Son of Man is? They said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, you though, who do you say I am? In answer, Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In response, Jesus said to him, happy you are, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father who is in the heavens did. Also I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock mass I will build my congregation, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of the heavens, and whatever you may bind on earth will be the thing bound in the heavens, and whatever you may loose on earth will be the thing loosed in the heavens. Then he sternly charged the disciples not to say to anybody that he was the Christ. From that time forward, Jesus Christ commenced, showing his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the older men and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised up. At this Peter took him aside and commenced rebuking him, saying, be kind to yourself, Lord. You will not have this destiny at all. But turning his back, he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, because you think not God's thoughts, but those of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, Let him disown himself and pick up his torture stick and continually follow me. But whoever wants to save his soul will lose it, and whoever loses his soul for my sake will find it. For what benefit will it be for a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is destined to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will recompense each one according to his behavior. Truly I say to you that there are some of those standing here that will not taste death at all until first they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That's the end of Matthew 16. We have about 12 minutes? 12 minutes remaining. We got through the reading today in a much more efficient manner. Though we could look at something. Well, we could review what we read in the different books, for example. Perhaps if we look at Clark's commentary, David consults Nathan about building a temple for Jehovah. And at first Nathan says one thing, and then he says later on that same night he gets a message, and from Jehovah he comes back with the revelation from Jehovah. Clark calls it a revelation, saying that Solomon, not David, should build the temple. Or he doesn't call him Solomon, because Solomon's not born yet. But Clark says Solomon. Nathan delivers the divine message, and David magnifies God for his mercies and makes prayer and supplication. That's 2 Samuel 7. And Jeremiah, Clark's commentary says, Johanan and the remnant of the peoples desire Jeremiah to ask counsel of God what they should do. The prophet assures them of safety in Judea, but destruction in Egypt, and reproves their hypocrisy in asking counsel with which they had no intention to comply. Very good description there of the way that things transpired in Jeremiah 42. And in Matthew 16, Clark writes, the Pharisees insidiously require our Lord to give them a sign. They are severely rebuked for their hypocrisy and wickedness. The disciples are cautioned to beware of them and their destructive doctrine. So that was because they were asking for a sign that Jesus said, beware of their leaven. That's interesting. I never really thought of that before. It's obvious, though, when you think about it. The different opinions formed by the people of Christ is another thing. That's not even a sentence. Is it? No, it's not. But that's what Clark writes. And also, so, and that's referring to Matthew 16, 13 and 14, which is talking about whether Jesus is something like John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets and so on. Peter's confession and our Lord's discourse on it, Clark writes, is Matthew 16, 15 through 20, where Simon Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus also promises Peter that he would be given the keys of the kingdom on the rock mass. Now, Peter means rock, or Cephas, at least. But, no, Peter does too, Petra, right? But yeah, Peter means rock. I'm not sure what Cephas means, actually. That might mean rock, too, in a different language. I'm not sure. But Peter means rock. And Jesus said, on this rock mass, meaning on him, on the rock mass of Jesus, right? Not just on, he's not going to build the church on Peter alone. It means, you see, The word for Peter is a piece of rock, right? Greek, Petros. But and there's a place called Petra in the vicinity of south of Palestine, or south of Jerusalem, and south of the Salt Sea. This place called Petra is a place where there are many rock carvings. So the word Peter means rock, but the rock mass is a different word. It's the piece of rock is a masculine word in Greek, but the word for rock mass is feminine. Greek petrai, dative, feminine singular, and so on. It's feminine in Latin, and it's feminine in Syrian. So it's a feminine word for rock mass. The rock mass referred to Jesus, not Peter. That's important for some who have not heard that before, perhaps. So what we're looking at now for time, we're doing okay for time here. But then Clark goes on. Jesus foretells his sufferings and reproves Peter, right? He turns his back on Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan," because Peter didn't believe that Jesus would have the fate of being killed at Jerusalem. But that was Jesus' destiny that he was meant to fulfill at Jerusalem, was to be killed, to die as the Christ, a sacrificial death. He also taught the necessity of self-denial. Verse 25, you know, whoever loses his soul for my sake will find it. And he shows the reasons on which it is founded. For example, what good is it if you what good is it to gain the whole world but lose your soul? How are you going to buy your soul back? How can you pay for your soul? You can't really do that. So if it comes to money, you're not going to be gaining anything if you have to forfeit your soul to get that worldly possession of some kind. It's not going to be worth it. But it's different with the case of Jesus. If you lose your life for the sake of Jesus, that is how you find your life. So it's a completely different thing to, you know, to serve Christ from compared with serving the world, for example. Or, you know, you can't serve two masters either, but it's a completely different thing to serve Jesus or serve Jehovah than it is to serve Satan and the world. Jesus speaks of a future judgment, Clark writes. That would be the destiny of the Son of Man to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and to recompense each one according to his behavior. And, Clark writes, promises the speedy opening of the glory of his own kingdom on earth. He says that some of those standing here would not taste death at all until they would see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, and that relates to the soon to come within exactly 40 years after the crucifixion, but at this point in his ministry, sometime slightly longer than 40 years, when Jerusalem would be destroyed, and so that would be the Son of Man coming in his kingdom to recompense each one according to his behavior and destroy the Jewish temple, because they had denied the Christ, of course, which Jesus had said, you can't be forgiven when you sin against the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the truth, and the Jews denied the Christ. They sinned against the Holy Spirit. The leaders did, not all the Jews. The leaders denied the Christ. They were punished, when Jesus came with his angels and destroyed the temple by inciting the Romans to come, and under General Titus they burned the temple, which at that time, of course, was not the Temple of Solomon. It was the second temple that had been rebuilt after Cyrus conquered Babylon, of course. Are we nearly done? We're getting close. Oh, we're getting closer. Yeah, so that's right. But Solomon built a temple that lasted from 1014 until 587 BCE. Then it was rebuilt and completed in the sixth year of Darius, or 517 BCE, which was exactly 70 years after its destruction in 587. And that temple lasted until, well, from 517 until 517 BCE, that is, until 70 CE, when General Titus of the Romans came with his army and destroyed the temple, and at that point the Jewish temple worship ceased, with only the west wall of the temple remaining. So Jesus did come even as early as 70 CE with his angels, and he recompensed each one according to his behavior, even at that time. And we might believe also that the preaching work began in earnest and after that also, with the ones who were believing Christ, teaching the Christian religion, even more so after that. And so we finally arrived to the year 2023, to our day, when Christianity is still, especially since 1914, being preached throughout all the earth for a witness to all the nations before the end of the system of things, which was prophesied. It's not something that we ourselves claim to know. It's a prophecy from God, from the true God, that he says that the end will come to this system of things when the good news has been preached throughout the entire earth, all of the inhabited earth. And that is our mandate as Christians, is to preach the word, preach it throughout the earth. And now we're at the end of our study, December 8th, 2023. The time is 1340 hours Eastern Standard Time now. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much, and I hope you all enjoyed the study. I will now, first of all, I want to say I love you very much. I've said that. I just said it. And also, I want to say, in my behalf, this is Crow, and this is Cassie, my two timepieces, saying bye for now.